Brother Al, it's so true that grace is amazing, and how God, in the midst of all that He does, that He still cares for us. You know, as we've been looking and studying the Scripture, and we start to look at creation, we start to see how powerful and mighty and wonderful our God truly is. You know, how God put all the stars in the sky, which we're going to kind of look at this morning, is and that how amazing it is when you walk out, you just look how beautiful. When the clouds are gone, you look out at the sky. You know, Addie and I went hunting this a couple weeks ago at my uncle's place. And it was just a really clear night. We walked outside and you looked up and the stars were just everywhere. And it's just so beautiful. And it's amazing how God made those stars in such simplicity. With all His power and His might and His majesty, it truly is amazing. You know, I was thinking about this week. You know, it was Valentine's Day and all, and you know, a lot of people, they get stars named after them. I don't know if y'all got any stars named after you, but, you know, isn't it quite amazing that you have these stars, that people can even name stars after people, and you can look up and say, hey, that's my star. So you don't really know if it's your star or not. You don't even know if it's a star or not. It could be a planet, but whatever. What we see is that it's amazing that how God does all these things. We start to think about the universe. The vastness of the universe is just really incredible. I mean, it's just really incredible. We start to read all these studies and all these things about the universe is quite staggering. I'm going to read this little bit that I read out of a book called The Battle for the Beginning. And it talks about the amazingness of and the vastness of our universe. You know, you learn in school that the light travels at 186,000 miles a second. And that computes to be 6 trillion miles a year. That's how far light goes in 1 year, 6 trillion miles. Let's just pretend this morning that the light beam was passing right now through the earth and was heading towards the edge of the solar system. On this path, it will be headed for the center of the Milky Way galaxy. It has traveled over 32,000 years before it has reached the center of the galaxy, and 6 trillion miles a year. It is still another 50,000 years to get to the other side of the Milky Way, which is our galaxy, and what it means is it has left behind over 100 billion stars. Now remember, the Milky Way galaxy is on average size galaxy. It's not a large galaxy. And as far as we know, that there are at least 50 billion galaxies in the known universe. Now, much of this has been determined by the use of the Hubble telescope and their cameras and its cameras. Now, our little light beam has traveled for another 80,000 years. And at 6 trillion miles per year, that pace it will reach the Magellan Clouds, which is the closest galaxy in a series of galaxies to our Milky Way. We are now having left this morning 160,000 years into the future. And our light beam is still moving at the same speed of 186,000 miles a second, 1.8 million years of empty space before it reaches the end of the Andromeda Galaxy, which is close enough for the Earth to be seen with the eye. Isn't that amazing that we can see it and it's that far away? Looking back from the Milky Way galaxy, you would see a fuzzy elliptical patch, which is similar to what the Andromeda looks like to us on a fall evening. As a footnote, most of the stars that you see aren't actually stars. They are rather multiple star systems revolving around a center mass. Now, if our little beam travels where a couple more million years, it will encounter really just open space for that period of time. Our little friend will now travel another 20 billion years before it reaches the edge of the known universe that we know about. After over 20 billion years of travel, with about 50 billion galaxies behind it, and about 100 billion stars in those 50 billion galaxies, 50 billion galaxies, Job puts it this way. And all that travel, listen to what Job says in Job chapter 26, verse 14. It says, "Behold are the fringes of His ways, and how faint a word we hear from Him." all these billions of years, all this light travel, all this, how big our galaxy is and how big this universe is, it's nothing but the fringes of God's power. The fringes of God's power. Now, just a little footnote. You may know this or you may not, but it's really interesting. The sun is taking our entire solar system and dragging it from one end of the universe to the other in an orbit that is huge. In fact, the whole Milky Way galaxy is in an orbit that scientists calculate will take 225 million years to complete. That's a pretty big galaxy, isn't it? 225 million years for it to complete. And Job tells us that God says these are just the fringes of His power. Now I want to remind you that when we started this in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And that set the stage for all the things that we've been saying, that God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I quoted this Herbert Spencer earlier, but he tells us that everything can be summed up into five categories: time, force, action, space, and matter. Now, when we read that verse, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth," we have all that. In the beginning is time. God, that's the force. Created, that's the actions. The heavens, that's the space. The earth, that's the matter. So in that one verse, we have everything we need when God created everything. And God does this in such a powerful way, but yet it seems so simplistic, because all it says is that, "And God said." God created everything out of nothing. Now I want to remind you that what an evolutionist believes, that nothing plus no one equals everything. My friends, that's an impossibility. But what is possible, and what they see over and over, that something had to start this universe. Something had to get it going. And what we believe that the Scripture teaches is that God is the one that spoke this universe into existence. It's simply amazing how God did this. So on day one, the materials that God made, and He shaped the universe into its final form, and He started light. On day one, He started with light. On day two, He creates the expanse of the heavens between the waters above and the waters below. And on day three, He separates the dry land from the water. And He starts to add the vegetation, the plants and the trees at this time. Now what this does is He separates the land from the sea, He starts the vegetation, and that leads us to what we're going to look at today, day four. So if you would, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 14. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 19. And verse 14 starts off, "Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and to let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for the lights in the expanse of the heavens and give light on the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day." So as we see that fourth day is starting, and actually the fourth day starts a different phase. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but whenever you read Genesis, there's really like two phases. You have phase one, which is the first 3 days. You have day one, there's light. And then day two, the firmament and the water below, that there's a separation, the waters from the waters. And then on the third day, you got dry land. But what's interesting is that phase one leads to phase two. And in phase two, you have the luminaries, then you have the birds and the fish, and then you have land creatures. So it kind of goes like this. Kind of picture your mind, phase one, phase two. And on this side, you got day one, which correlates with day four, because you have the light, and then you have the luminaries. Then day two, which is separating the water from the waters, the firmament. And then day five is the birds and the fish. And then on day three, you have dry land. And then day on six, you have what? The land creatures. So it's kind of like God creates this and then he starts to feel that in which he created. Now day four is when you start to look at day four, you get a lot of different arguments about day four. Because a lot of people, when they look at day four, they start to say, you see, that's why it's not a 24-day period. That's why it's not a 24-hour day that God is talking about. Because there wasn't a sun and a moon at the beginning. But the sun and moon wasn't created until day four. So how can we have a 24-hour day? Well, I just want to remind you that God is the creator and he created this light. He created this light, and if God creates light and he separates light from darkness, he can do it however he wants to do it. And so God separated the light just because the light wasn't the moon and the sun, but that the light was made, and what he's going to do is he's going to put the light into the moon and to the sun. And so what we see here, and I want to remind you of this because we talked about it a little bit last week, that science is not a hermeneutic for Genesis. What I mean by hermeneutic is that the science does not interpret Genesis. Genesis interprets science. So when you read something, when somebody reads it, they say, well, how could day four, how could it be a 24-hour day if you didn't have a sun and a moon? Well, the truth is that God created it, and he decided to put the sun and the moon because God created it the way he designed it and the way he wanted it. And so therefore, what we start to figure out is, okay, this is how God did it. We don't have to say, well, who says that there had to be a sun and a moon for there to be light and dark? God can turn light on. He can turn it off whenever he wants to. Who says God can't do however he wants to do it? He just decided to do it in this way. And so therefore, a lot of people will look at this and say, well, science tells us this, and so we have to make the Bible jive with science. No, my friends, what we have to do is read the Scripture and help understand how it fits in to science. We see how science fits in to the Scripture. So he starts out and he says, and God said. So therefore what? He simply spoke into existence. That's the way it stayed. When God spoke, that means he spoke and it was final. Exactly the way he spoke it into existence is the way it is. The moon, the sun, the stars, the galaxies, billions upon billions of galaxies, everything that is in space, all the material is there. All the gases, they're there. All the atoms, they were there. Everything that is there exactly the way God created it. Amen. So when God created, he created everything that he was going to use. Everything he was going to need, God created in this certain plan. And I want to remind you that when we read Genesis, Genesis is the only account of an eyewitness to what was taking place. Everything else, people have to speculate and guess and wonder and maybe. But when we read the Scripture, what we get is an eyewitness account of how this world was created. So he says, then God said, he said, let there be lights. You remember the first time on day one he says, let there be light. Now he says, let there be lights. Now a lot of people want to wonder, well, what was the first light? Well, we don't know exactly, but whatever else, God used it. Whatever that light was, God used it the way he desired to use it. But now what we see is that he's going to create the lights. Now on the very outset, he created what was the moon and therefore the stars. Before he created the sun, there was light. It was attached to those celestial bodies. See, there's nothing before this time that anything was, you didn't have celestial bodies as though therefore you had light and you had darkness. But what God does is when he creates the lights, he puts the light to these bodies. Okay? He put that light that he created to the sun, to the moon, to the stars. But there was still light. It wasn't like there wasn't light before the sun and moon was created. The light was there, and then God placed the light upon these objects. And so that's why we get these luminaries, because God placed it upon them. So it says, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to what? Separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So what God's going to do here, as he tells us on day four, that he created what? The lights. So he's going to say, this is why I decided to govern this universe and to govern the earth, was I was going to do it by these lights, these luminaries in which I created. He says he separated the day from the night. Now, to mark a distinction between these two things, Those two things must already exist. See, if you think about this, people say, well, if God created light in day one, then where did darkness come from? Well, you got to remember, darkness was already there. So you already had darkness, then He created light, and so those things still already existed, and so therefore He didn't create day and night, dark and light. At this time, it was already created. He just put it into a formation that He's going to use. So therefore, He has the sun and the moon. The darkness already existed. Light has come into existence also on day one, and it was ready to be used. This affirms the day existed without the sun and the moon or the stars, that day and night still existed. Now, how did that look and what did that look like? I don't know. I have no idea. But I know that God said that's the way it was, and so therefore there was day and there was night. Wherever this light He used it. When He got time to turn, He turned it off. Whenever He felt like doing it, He turned it off. And so He had a separation between day and night. Now, if you notice here, it says, it has the heavens to separate the day from the night. It says, and let them be for signs. Now, what's neat about this, when it says, let them be, that means actually what? To serve. What are these lights going to serve for? Well, He's going to tell us that next. It serves for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So now He's going to explain why the stars were made, the sun was made, the moon was made. Why did He create all these things? He did it for a reason. He did it for what? For signs. And those signs were for what? Seasons and for days and for years. Now, the signs, these are stellar bodies that would divide the year into seasons. And they would divide the year, and they would divide the time into seasons and into days and to years. So now you have seasonal times and you have calendar years. So because of the sun and moon, because of all these things, we have seasons, but we also have calendar years. Now what's interesting about this is when you talk about the days and years, if you remember, it's the moon that determines the month and the course of the movement of the moon through its orbit. It also generates seasons. The sun does the same. Because the earth is tilted on its axis, it causes the sun to be at a varying distance from the surface, at different points on the globe and at different times of the year, which produces the seasons which are critical to rejuvenate of life and the growing of the crops and the flourishing of the earth. And so because we have the earth on a certain axis, that is used to give to rejuvenate the earth. That's why He made seasons and years, and He did all these things. Because a 24-hour day is simply determined by the fact that there is a cycle from the sunset to sunset and from sunrise to sunrise. We have that. That's how we govern our days, morning and evening. So God determined the orbit of the sun, or the earth around the sun, and the orbit of the moon around the earth determines the day. And the day is determined by the earth's rotation on its axis. Now, one 24-hour period is the time of the earth's rotation. But it's also true that the sun is a determiner of years. How do we come up with a year? The rotation of the sun, the orbit of the earth around the sun. Because it takes one full year for a rotating earth to rotate each day in order to make it around the sun for 365 days, that's where we get a calendar year. Now, it's quite amazing how God created all this. How God had a plan for the earth to be exactly where it is and to spin exactly where it needs to spin and go exactly where it needs to go, and that the sun is actually moving as we go and the whole galaxy is moving around. It's quite amazing. But we see that God did this to make a 24-hour day because it governs our lives, it governs the way we live. He gives it what? Signs for the seasons and for the years. Now, this is very interesting. You may never ask yourself this, but just think about it. So we know that the sun and the moon and all that gives us days and it gives us seasons and it gives us years. But what gives us weeks? There's nothing in Scripture that ever talks about weeks. But yet all humanity has always worked on a weekly system. And the weeks have always been 7 days. Pagans, Christians, the world in general has always worked on a 7-day week. Why is that? Because we get it from Genesis 1. God did everything in 7 days. And so whether people were pagans or Christians or whatever, just the world in this nature rotates on a seven-day week throughout all of history. Staggering, isn't it? The Bible doesn't say it, it doesn't explain it, other than that God created in 7 days. And so therefore, that's where we get our week. Look at verse 15. It says, "And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heaven to give light to the earth." And it was so. Now he's just kind of going to repeat this once again. "And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give them light on the earth." Now, I don't know about you, but I hear people talk about this all the time. They say, you know what? If the galaxy is so vast, and we have all these different galaxies in this whole universe, we have all these things, why would God focus everything on the earth? I mean, there's one little small planet in the whole universe. Why would God just do that for just earth? Well, the reason why is because he put man on the earth. The man that we're going to see that was created in his image. So no, we're not being egocentric. We think, well, yeah, we're the center of the universe because God created everything around the earth. Because why? He put his bride on the earth. Not on Jupiter or Mars or wherever else in the galaxy. God decided to put his son's bride on this planet. And that's why it says, that's why he created the earth and gives light to where? The earth. And if you notice here, it says, "And it was so." Now, if you remember, we talked about this throughout the study, that every time it says it was so, that means it is done. It is foundational. It doesn't change. So when God created the universe, it doesn't change. You know, it's amazing that a lot of people think that the earth, that the universe is going to is expanding, right? Because it's been here millions and billions of years. But what's crazy is that they know for a fact that the sun's burning out. And they know for a fact that the moon is going further and further away. So if that's all true, either the moon should be right up on us or it should be way away from us. And so therefore the sun will be burned out and the moon will be way far away if we'd be here millions and billions and billions of years. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, their own math doesn't add up. Because if it was true, then we wouldn't have a moon close enough to us. We wouldn't have a sun that had enough energy to keep the world going. And like I said earlier, when they start to argue about, well, hey, what about day one? They didn't have a sun and a moon, so how could you have plant life? Well, when you have light, you have heat. And all you need for plant life is photosynthesis, which happens through what? Sun and heat. So it's very simple that, yes, God can create light on day one and separate the light from the darkness and create the sun and the moon on day four. Why? Because he's the creator. He can do whatever he wants whenever he wants. He doesn't have to adhere to any rules because he makes the rules. He makes the game. He decides the way it's going to be. And so this is the way he decided for it to be. And so he creates this on day four. Now look at verse 16. It says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made stars also." That just cracks me up. You know, it's kind of like at the end of the sentence, he goes, "Oh yeah, and he made these stars." You know, we talked about millions and billions of stars. We talked about all these things around us. We talked all about this beauty and this majesty. And it's just kind of like a throwaway at the end of the sentence. "Oh, and God made those also." But it says, "He made two great lights, the greater light to what? Govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night." You know, isn't that true that the sun and moon does govern our lives? I mean, it does. That's how we decide when we're going to eat, when we're going to sleep, what we're going to do. I mean, the sun truly does govern our lives. It governs who we are, and God decided to make this light the thing that was going to govern our lives. You know, that's why so many people and many pagan cultures would worship the sun and moon. Because they knew just by nature that the sun and moon determined the way their lives was lived. Now earlier when God talked about signs, don't take that out of context. He didn't mean it as a sign like we're supposed to worship the moon and the sun. We're not supposed to worship those things, but he used it to what? Just separate the seasons, the days, the years. That was his plan. We were never created to worship something else that was created. We are created to worship the Creator. And so what he says here is, he says here, and God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. Now, you know, it's amazing how if you start to read some of these things, and they seem scientific, and they have PhDs, and they have all these credentials, but the truth is all their ideas is placed on a wish, or a hope, or maybe. Now, a popular theory is that our solar system was formed out of a cloud of swirling gas and dust and particles. They don't say, though, where the gas, dust, and particles came from. You know what I mean? They come down to all this stuff was created out of gas and particles, all this, but they never say where it comes from. Why? Because they can't come up without the Bible to come up with a legitimate thing that would create all these things. You cannot have something out of nothing without a divine creator. And so when God spoke, this is what started this universe. Look at verse 17. It says, and God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. Verse 18. And to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. Now, every time God talks about that it is good, that means it's perfect. And I've said this before, but I want to repeat it to you. If it was good, then there could be no death. Now, if this planet would have existed for millions and billions of years, things would have had to die along the way. But the truth is, it was good because nothing had died. Death doesn't enter in until sin enters the world. So when you study evolution, their whole process is full of death. Survival of the fittest. Things had to die to survive, to create, to keep moving. But the truth is, if you believe the Scripture, then there is no death before sin entered. And that's why God was able to say, it is good. Why was it good? Because He created it for the thing He's going to create in His image, which was humanity. He's getting the entire world ready to put human beings created in His image upon this earth. And so now He's made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and He created all this, and He said, it is good, because I'm fixing to put what I'm going to create upon what I'm creating. Now He's going to make man, and He's getting everything to inhabit this earth in which He created. So it's quite amazing. Look at verse 19. He kind of simply says this. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. If you have time, go back and read it. Every time there's a day, He says, and there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Now, He just told us what? Earlier in this verse, that He what? He made the sun and moon to make what? Days. Not millions and billions. I was amazed. I was listening to one of my professors this week, and they were talking about this. They were talking about the writing of Genesis. And he said, you know what? I'm not really sure what I believe about it. He goes, you know, it could be this and it could be that. And he said, but honestly, I guess because I had an education when I was in school that they always taught us millions and billions of years, that I just naturally wanted to try to squeeze that into Scripture, because science actually became the end-all be-all. I was trying to squeeze to make the Bible, to give the Bible credit. I was having to squeeze science into the Bible. Well, friends, you don't have to do that. Because trust me, science will always prove the Bible to be true. Over and over, it will always answer it to be true. You do not have to try to squeeze what people say is scientifically true. I mean, just like fossils. Well, what about the fossils? Well, fossils are only created if there's some catastrophe has to create a fossil. It don't just happen. There has to be some kind of something catastrophic, something very different to be create a fossil. It has to be catastrophic. But yet, people say, well, this has the answers. Well, my friends, the answers are always in the Word of God. And it doesn't make you unintelligent if you believe the Word of God. If you simply believe that God created. And if He wanted to do on day four the sun and the moon, so be it. Yeah. However He made that grass grow and whatever, fine with me. He can do it. But I want you to remember that this universe was created to bring glory to God. If you ever read Psalms 8, it's amazing. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth, who have displayed Your splendor above the heavens. What did He say? He says here, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Why? Because He sees the power and the majesty of what? The heavens. You know, when we look out at the heavens and we look at the things around us, and if you ever start to really just study science, it's amazing. I mean, it is staggering the things that you can look at, and they show you all these things at the Hubble telescope. I mean, it's way out of my pay grade. I don't understand it all, but it is quite amazing to see all those things. But the reason why those things are there is for what? Us to bring glory to God. It's to bring glory to God so that those in which He recreated would worship Him. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Why? You have displayed Your splendor in where? The heavens. Your splendor. Now, if you go down a few verses, it says in Psalms 8, verses 3 and 4, the psalmist says, When I consider Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have ordained, what is man that You take thought of him, and the son of man that You care for him? My friends, you might be thinking, well, preacher, why does it matter about all this stuff about how He created? Why does it make a difference? It makes a difference because I hope that as you study this and as you read this and as you just sit in amazement of all these things and you look at the sun and the moon and the stars and all these things, that what it does, it just really amazes you that God would have time for you and me. That's what He says here. You made the moon and the stars, and You have ordained all these things. What is it that You have thought of man? Why would You even think of me, God? I mean, God that created all this universe, but yet what? He still cares for me. In fact, He tells us what? Cast all your cares upon Him, because why? He cares for you. I mean, this God who can do anything and everything still has time for you and I. He still cares about those pains that we feel on day-to-day basis. He still cares about those hurts. He still cares about our needs, because why? He says, I'm going to supply all your needs according to My riches and glory. Why? We see His riches all around us. So how can He not do what we need to be done in our life? Well, He can He? And there's nothing He can't take care of. I don't know about you, but that gives me great hope. Because a lot of times I feel like everything is just in chaos. Out of my control, things are spinning. Well, guess what? This whole world's spinning. I'm not in control of that, am I? It's on an axis I can't do anything about. It's going places I don't know where it's going to go. But you know what? God's in control of it. So if He can control this whole entire universe, He surely can control the situation and things in my life and in your life. In the midst of creating all this, He still had a plan to redeem humanity. He still had a plan to make us His Son's bride. Why? Because that's what He decided to do. That was His desire. So my friends, I don't know where you are today, but I sure hope that as you walk outside and you look at the sunshine, or you walk out at night and you see the stars, I hope that it draws you to just be in awe of God's majesty and glory and power. And you can just rest in how great our God truly is. And you can't help but glorify Him. You can't help but just be amazed at all He can do. And maybe you're here today and you've never experienced salvation. You've never experienced what it's like to really know God. But the good news is, my friends, you can do that today. You can come to know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. All you got to do is say, Lord, I want to give You all of me. I trust You with my entire life and everything I have, and I want to love You and be loved by You. I want You to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. You know what? You'll be saved. Just like when He spoke our earth into existence. In a moment. He can do anything in a moment. God doesn't have to work and build things up. He can do it as soon as He speaks. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling as a believer. Maybe life has been difficult. And like that song Brother Al sang, you know, things in life that we did that we're not proud of. There's things in life that we struggle with. But it's because of God's grace that we're saved. And we think about that salvation because we think about what can't God do because He created all these things. And He's the one that's in complete and total control. So my friends, I don't know where you are today or what you're going through. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and then Jason's going to come. He's going to lead us an invitation. I just want you to know this altar is open for you. You can come down here and pray. I'll be down front. I can pray with you or pray for you. Whatever you need to do this morning, just be obedient. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank You so much for who You are. And God, I pray that we do like the psalmist. Look up at the skies, and we look at the sun and moon, and we think about how this light travels, and we think about this galaxy in which we're in, and we think about the multitude of galaxies around us and all the stars. And we think about those things, and we just start to say how wonderful and powerful and mighty You are. And it just draws us to a place where we desire to worship You, that we're in awe of You. So God, I just pray that You'll be with who's ever in this room today that may not know You today. They might not know their Creator, that today they can know Him. They can have a relationship with You, that they can know what it's like to love You and be loved by You. God, for those of us as believers, help us just to keep things in perspective. You know, as wonderful as this earth is and as beautiful as all these things are, it's really just scratching the surface for what we'll have with You for all eternity. This intellect that You have to create all these things and to create our bodies and create just these things that we see around us. God, we'll just be in awe of You for all eternity. So Lord, I just pray that You'll be with this time and that You'll bless it. It's in Your name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen.